Oh, that's right. I am right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, 409 in the afternoon. And I have Dr. Ray Brooks with us. How are you doing today, Dr. Brooks?
And I'm doing great. I had a bad day till I realized I was going to get to come talk to you, and then that just made everything that came before this pale in comparison. So I am so excited about being here.
Okay, Ray, you laid it on a little heavy here, but we'll take it. We'll take it. It's always a pleasure to sit down with you. I tell you what, in the last, you've been there almost 6 years now.
I'm in my sixth year.
I tell you what, Piedmont Tech has exploded, and I would say in the last two and a half years, it has really blossomed about what the things that are happening out there.
Thank you.
That's true. I mean, every time I turn around, there's something new and exciting coming down. I mean, Continuing Ed and the events and what they're doing out there are really exciting. I mean, with Circus Stella just being there.
Oh, yeah.
Beth Holloway's coming on May 10th.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
And what you've been able to do with the event center out there, the James Medford Event Center out there, is phenomenal. Want to tell us a little bit how that came about?
Yeah, when the Civic Center closed several years ago, there was a gap in facilities available for community use, and we had our multi-purpose building, which was basically built as a gymnasium and a multi-purpose space, and it looked like that, and it was good solid building, but it just didn't lend itself. The acoustics were terrible. The needed just a lot of work, and so we were looking at what we could do to best serve the community, and we decided to remodel that building and make it much prettier, more functional. Recently, we hosted the governor out there. She was here. The chamber had her up here, and we were fortunate they used our facility, and it just really turned out beautiful. Mr. Medford, who he and his lovely wife, Denise, are out at the links at Stony Point. Mr. Medford chairs our foundation board, and he sponsored part of that, and the building was named in their honor. And we've had, as you say, Circus Stella, which what I understand was great. I was out of town that weekend. But it's really we're having a lot of weddings and receptions, so it's been very well received by the community. And
the acoustics are good.
Oh, the acoustics are great now.
we were
talking about that earlier before we came on the air, and you've got so many hard surfaces in there. A lot of times it's hard to get them balanced out, and so we worked with some folks, and they really got it where you can be anywhere in the building and you can hear. And
that's
important. Yet it doesn't blast your eardrums out, and so it's really turned out nice.
One
of the things we do have a challenge with right now is it's gotten so popular we ran into parking problems, enough parking. So we're we're in the process of planning to put additional parking below it down there where I guess you'd call it an athletic field, but right now the athletic field is running parallel with that the event center. So we're going to cut that in half, turn the athletic field so that it's running perpendicular, and then convert that other space into additional parking. But I think it was the Wild Turkey Federation or somebody had an event out there, and it happened to fall on the same night we were still having class. We had people parked all the way down at the Meals on Wheels.
Wow.
Yeah.
That shows you how popular, though, it has become.
Yeah, but it's not real. You're not real popular when somebody's had to walk half a mile in 80, 90 degree heat to get,
That's why you need those little golf carts moving around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those are good problems to have. It's a good thing you've been able to resolve it.
Yeah, and we're able to have our graduations there on site now. We have to split them. We're having, we've got a graduation coming up in the near future, and we're having two different sessions to be able to get everyone in there. But it's nice to have it on campus, and it's just we're very pleased with the way the building turned out.
Well, Dr. Brooks, we've got to give a lot of credit to your enthusiasm and sense of urgency that you have for everything you do. We were talking before we came on the air, are you ever satisfied?
No.
No?
No, I think that's probably just part of the way I'm wired, and a lot of people are wired, but I think if you get complacent on anything sometimes, then you're setting yourself up to maybe. I guess the part that's so important to me is, and I've shared this with you, my wife and I both went to a technical school, and the experience, she was a secretary, I was an automobile mechanic, and that experience changed our life. And so, I've got a job, I get paid to do what I do, but I feel more like I'm on the mission field. We're out there, we're providing opportunities for people to come to school, to take charge of their life so that they can go out and support themselves, support their families, better the community, and do those kind of things. And so I don't have a lot of patience for people that work with us or for us that don't bring that passion to the I never will forget, I talked to, this was in my previous career before I came here, we hired a faculty member one time that we were getting some very negative reviews back from this individual students, and so I was talking with this individual, and they told me that their job was to teach, and the student's job was to learn. And I said, well, help me understand that. And basically, he finally told me that it's not my problem if they don't learn. I put it out there, and if they don't, and so he didn't stay with us a lot longer, but I tried to explain to him that, yes, it is your responsibility, because we have got to figure out a way to reach as many people as we can. Are we perfect? No. We're going to get better. Is everybody happy with us? I'd be the first to tell you, no, they're not. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this, without hesitation, is we're committed to being the absolute best college that we can be. And recently, you and I didn't talk about this, but back in January, Piedmont was selected as the 2013 Community College Futures Assembly National Bellwether Award winner. This is a national.
It was huge back in Orlando. Right.
There were over 150 applications. We were selected as one of the 10 finalists 2 years in a row. First year we didn't win it. The second year we went back, and so it's pretty good to get peer recognition that your college and the things you're doing at your college, and it's not me, it's our college, it's us doing it. And I'd have to give credit where credit's due. It's all the faculty and the staff every day that come to work, and they're there to do what they can do to try to make our students' lives better. And that came through crystal clear in the competition, even to the point we got people coming from all over the country looking to see what's going on at Piedmont Tech and how we've accomplished the things that we've been able to accomplish in a very challenging financial environment. And I think sometimes you can find all kind of excuses why not to do something, but you've got to find the courage why to do it and then work your way through it.
I think I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, that does come through out there at Piedmont Tech. I mean, just take when you started to change everything for how you admit students. I mean, that's a big one right there, making it one day express moving in, getting through the system.
We do a process called Business Process Analysis, a BPA, and Becky McIntosh and her folks were talking one day, and they said, well, we've got X number of steps to work through the financial aid process. So they start this BPA, and they're writing on a chart, and I think maybe there was 7 or 8 or whatever it was. Well, we were in a large conference room, so they're doing the flip chart thing that everybody always does, and so they write step one, such, 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 paste it up there. Well, all of a sudden somebody says, yeah, but also when you do that, you got to do this. Well, when I walk in, they've got flip charts all the way, pages torn off flip chart all the way around the room, and this was a large room, and then they're about halfway around on the second round, and they still were on about step 6.
You still haven't gotten into school yet?
Still haven't gotten into school yet.
Okay.
Well, they condensed that down to 5 steps.
And now they can do it in a day.
In a day.
In a day.
In a day.
And plus, you've changed around the configuration of how somebody
where they're
comes
located.
Into the school,
yeah.
Where they're located.
Yeah. Used to, when I first came over here, I told everyone it was a 4-door college. And they asked me, they said, what are you talking about, 4-door college? I said, well, when I came here to visit before I decided I would apply for the presidency, I had to come through 4 doors before I could ever talk to anybody in admissions. I came in the 2 front doors out there where you come into the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went through the door to the hall. That's the 3rd one. And then I had to figure out which way to turn left or right. And then I had to go through another door just to finally receive a receptionist. And I said, 4-door college is not going to get the job done. We've got to figure out how to get those folks front and center where people can find them, because sometimes we're flustered and we may not be convinced this is what we want to do. And we want to ensure that we try to do, and again, let me first say, I'm not saying we're perfect,
mm-hmm.
but we're trying to make improvements every day. And I think if we, you know, sometimes people look for the silver bullet. You and I are of age. We remember the Lone Ranger. He had his silver bullet that would solve all the problems. But I think what I've come to the conclusion is there are no silver bullets. But if you'll make small improvements every day with every tick of the clock over time, it's kind of like a snowball rolling down a hill. It's huge. It makes a huge impact. And that's what we're trying to do is empower folks, give them tools through our lean process that we're using so that they can analyze what they're doing, identify the root cause if something, you know, if we do something and every time we do it, three of the nine transactions do not come out the way they're supposed to be, something's causing that. And so you try to figure out what that is and not just put a Band-Aid on it, but stop it from happening. It improves the, hopefully, the student's experience. It improves the morale of the person working with it because they're not having to do rework. And overall, it lifts the level of service of the college so that it begins to self-perpetuate itself. And those are some of the kind of things, I think, that we're seeing happen. It's not one thing happening in one area, but a lot of folks taking ownership of what they do, how they do it, and how I can best do it to improve the students. Because at the end of the day, the students have a ticket, and that ticket is to go to school someplace. We want them to bring that ticket to us. Because
customer service,
as my friend Jim Medford has said on many occasions, if you get the best, the highest quality and the best value at the best price point, you're going to be successful, and that's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I think you are. You've turned a college experience into a business experience, and that's got to be a success. Hey, I'm here with Dr. Ray Brooks from Piedmont Tech. He is the president out there. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We're right back here with the pumped up, ready to go Ray Brooks. That's right, from Piedmont Technical College. He is the president out there, been there 6 years, retired, folks, and then came up here to start over again. I tell you what.
And I was retired for 2 weeks now. Let's get that.
Okay, well, I mean, you did retire,
yeah, I did.
Technically.
I retired February the 15th, came to work here March 3rd.
And I tell you what, ever since then, I think Piedmont Tech has been on the move. You know, one of the things about today, a lot of people look at, should I go to a regular college? Should I go to a technical college? And, you know, we're seeing a lot of students today that go to a technical college. They come out with a skill set, and they're ready to go to work. Isn't that one of the most important things that a student should be looking at today?
Well, I think I agree with you there, but I've talked to a lot of people too. But I think one thing a student needs to do, a potential student, do the research before they enroll in something. A lot of times they'll pick something, whether it's with us or another organization or with, you know, one of the for-profit colleges, and somebody sells them on something and they can do it. But it's very easy to go online and look and see how many jobs are available in a certain area, mm-hmm. what it's going to pay, where they are. Now, if I'm wanting to stay with Mama around Mom and Daddy, and they live here in Greenwood, and I'm wanting to be a rocket scientist, it's probably not a good choice.
Exactly.
But if I want to do other kind of things, and I know they're there in my community, then it probably is a good choice. Now, if they're willing to move, pretty much anything you're going to do is going to be a good thing. But, if you know, I think you've got to do your research. But the other thing is you've got to be, you and I were talking before the broadcast, any higher education institution you go to is going to equip you to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing you've got to have when you leave there is be a self-directed, independent learner. And the example I use is a nurse. If I was a nurse 30 years ago and I went home and fell into a deep sleep and slept 30 years.
Like Rip Van Winkle.
And
yes.
I showed up down at South Regional and all of a sudden I seen Mr. Pfeiffer and I didn't remember him being president of the hospital. And then I walked down there in the emergency room. It's going to look like I'm in a foreign land because I'm not going to recognize any of the equipment.
Right.
Probably most of the medicines I've never heard of. But if I've been there working for 30 years, I have continued to develop my skills. And I've learned to operate all the new technology. And so regardless of what you do, you're going to be learning your whole career. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head that's a static field where it doesn't change, other than maybe being a philosopher where you're thinking about what might change.
Well, you know, and particularly in today's world, everything is based around technology, computers, tablets, whatever you want. even manufacturing jobs are all based on computers. So you've got to continually grow and change. Yeah. Now, I don't think we'll ever be done learning.
No.
You know, 30 years ago, I think you were. You know, you got a job and
you
didn't have to.
Oh, you plan on staying with it. Well, you talked about manufacturing. There's a huge misconception in our country and probably in our area that manufacturing has gone away. It hasn't gone away. It's strong. It's healthy. In South Carolina, it's extremely healthy.
That's we the tire capital of the world.
Oh, the tire capital, the transmission capital, the car capital, the airplane capital, you name it. We got it going on. But the thing I think that has changed is you don't have the low-skill, high-wage jobs out there that you once have where you just – I remember I came from an era where there was a lot of textiles, spinning mills and such, and they called the employees hands because literally that's what they wanted were their hands. And the people that are working out in manufacturing today, for the most part, are a lot of the folks, the highly skilled jobs are the folks that do exactly what you said. They maintain that equipment. They repair that equipment. A lot of the things that used to be done by maintenance people are now done by operators. They not only are responsible for certain things, but they're also responsible for basic calibration, checking the quality of the product their machine is making. And I think when you go back to Adam Taylor's Wealth of Nation, I think it was Adam Taylor, Adam somebody, I'm not a philosopher, so I don't remember, but his basic premise was there's three ways of creating wealth, and that's mining, manufacturing, and now I can't even remember what the third one was. It doesn't matter. But manufacturing is a major, major thing for us in Greenwood, and we've got some wonderful companies here. And if you have the right skill sets, and the other thing that I think we have to understand is the right attitude. You go to work, people expect you to have – it goes back to everything I – was that book somebody wrote one time, everything I learned to be successful in life, I learned in kindergarten, and it all starts out with playing fair in the sandbox.
Yeah.
You know, I can't expect to go to work, not get along with my fellow employees, be a pain to everybody I'm working with, and have a successful career. I think you've got to be committed to the company and the job you're working with, and even at doing that, it's probably going to change, and so you're going to have some changes in your career, but I hear a lot of people talk about luck. I do believe there's some luck involved, but I started out as an automobile mechanic, but I could have, if I had not continued going back to school, even if I was the best automobile mechanic in the world and the presidency of the college came up, I don't think they would have considered me for that. The fact that I had gone and prepared myself to do other things, and we see that in students all the time. They'll start in one thing, they'll move into something else, and they'll progress. I talked to a lady the other day. I went into one of the local medical facilities, and she was a nurse practitioner. And I got to talking with her, and she asked me where I worked. I said, Piedmont Tech, and she said, well, I went to nursing school out there. I said, registered nurse? She said, well, eventually started out as a practical nurse, then went back and got her RN, then went to Lander, I think, and got her BSN. Then she went to the Medical University of South Carolina, got her nurse practitioner degree.
Sure.
And now she's out, for all practical purposes, practicing medicine. And I asked her, I said, well, is that what you set out to do to start with? She said, no. But as I work some in these jobs, I've seen opportunities. And as my kids grew older and I had more availability of time and resources, I could continue to move up in my career till I got to a point that I wanted to be. And I think that's the whole issue. It doesn't matter where you start. It's where you're going to end up at. And that's something people have got. Where do you want to end up at? Where do you want to be? And the other thing that drives me crazy is people that just think if you set out there, good things will happen to you. They will. Well, if you just set out there,
bad things can happen too, right?
Bad things can happen too, but I think you've got to prepare yourself for whatever may come about in the future and then have some faith also, and then good things will happen. And hopefully we can, and the other, you know, people that live in around this area have a wonderful wealth of opportunities for higher education. Us, Lander, I mean,
there's a lot of opportunity.
There's no reason for somebody not to go to college living in this community.
Absolutely, and with all the help that is out there from the South Carolina Educational Lottery and grants and everything.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you what, I am with Dr. Ray Brooks. Hey, if you'd like to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after the news.
For the individual engrossed in McDonald's new Deluxe Angus Third Pounder, the world simply ceases to exist. You savor each bite of thick, juicy 100% Angus beef, topped with crisp red onions and crinkle-cut pickles, oblivious to the fact that the pantsuit you borrowed from your roommate has become a full-body napkin for your fanatical feasting frenzy. Topanga's axiom number 5, ignorance is bliss, or in this case, vice versa. Get lost in one of 3 new Angus Third Pounders, only at participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I am here with Dr. Ray Brooks, just having a great time. You know, I just get really energized, and I think, you know, what am I doing sitting on my butt here today? I better get out and do something, Ray. It's a motivational, and that's what I think one of the biggest skills that you possess is the motivation to get everybody up and moving. You know, you just got this Carl Zeiss Industrial Metrology makes a $1 million entrustment to PTC.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's huge.
Yeah, think about taking an inch and dividing it into 1 million parts.
I can't think about that, Ray. I'm sorry.
And then being able to measure it.
Yeah.
Each part or 3 parts together. Well, we are ZF Transmission Group, which is the primary user of that piece of equipment right now that we're working with. It's called a Carl Zeiss. It's a CMM, coordinate measuring machine, and it will measure to 1/1,000,000th of 1 inch. And what they do is they have they'll run production parts, and then they have very tight tolerances on those parts, and they will take a part off the assembly or off the line where they're being manufactured, and they'll measure them, and then they can tell if they need to make any adjustments in their machinery. And that's one of the reasons. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about going back to the good old days. You know, I'm a car mechanic, and they talk about, well, they don't build them like they used to. Well, let me tell you, I never saw a 57 Chevy go 250,000 miles without having to do anything to it ever and change the oil, maybe do a little brake work on it. But you look at cars out here today, people don't think anything at 100, 150,000, and they're still going strong and going on. And part of the reason is because we're much able to build a better vehicle or better mechanical apparatuses today because we can very tightly control those processes. And that's one thing. We had this one big machine up there that does the measuring and you actually check on, but the software that they've donated goes on the computer. So it's sort of like if I were to be a heart surgeon and I didn't have any heart dummies to practice on, and I'm going to practice on people. If I kill the first 2 or 3 off, I'm probably going to have trouble finding volunteers. Or if I go to that very expensive machine and I start working on it and I crash it and I've got to get it repaired, then nobody else can practice on it. But this software they donated simulates everything on that machine on a computer so I can totally learn to run that computer. It's sort of like the flight simulators that pilots train in. Mm-hmm. I can totally learn to operate that coordinate measuring machine and go through everything I can do with it before I ever touch the actual machine. And then I can go through and more quickly and more, instead of having to have 20 machines in a room, which they're $300,000-$400,000 a piece, I can have one machine and 20 computers. And I can do it just as fast as if I had the 20-some-odd machines. And we're the first educational institution that they've done this with, and we're going to serve as their training center for the southeastern United States. So there'll be people coming in from a lot of different areas that we will be teaching how to operate.
Simpsonville. Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it, will it be
here? It's right off 385 there at the exit that the Walmart distribution center is at. And that facility was put in place because of ZF locating in Owens, the Owens Industrial Park, or in the Industrial Park, yeah, there at Owens. And we opened that center in May of last year, and there's been over 2,000 people that have already gone through it.
And it is in a very expanding field. I tell you,
well,
I can't keep up with it. And
yeah,
it's a 7-speed transmission, isn't
no,
it?
No, it is a 9-speed.
9-speed. Okay, 9-speed.
And it will give you about 30% increased fuel efficiency over if you had like a 6-speed transmission. And so they're selling. They've got a very unique product. They're selling them. It's a very high-quality product. Good jobs.
And it's here.
And it's
here.
It's here in our region. Yeah.
And it's close, relatively.
And it's close, very close. And they are looking for highly motivated, qualified folks to work. And they're going to eventually have about 1,700 people working there. It's 1 million-something square foot under one roof. And it's been very rewarding, and good things are happening there. Good things are happening here in Greenwood, too. A lot of companies that are looking, and a lot of people in this community are working very hard to support the existing businesses as we have here, and also to make Greenwood a very attractive place for new businesses that are looking to locate in this region. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's going to raise the quality of life for everyone.
Well, you know, if Piedmont Tech, though, has really gotten right in the middle of this, though, to make sure that the training and your staff being able to provide the training, just like for this ZF, that was a big undertaking.
Well, it was, and we did it in a very short period of time, but that's what we're supposed to do. And, you know, everybody's got land.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can adjust their tax rates. But companies are going to go where they've got the people that they know they can find the qualified people, and the people are motivated. They're good, solid workers. They're good, solid folks. And I think that's one thing that makes South Carolina very attractive. And you look at our region, I mean, we're good folks over here. And I think a lot of people are realizing it because South Carolina is pretty much leading the nation right now. If you look at the size of our state and the industrial growth in it. And,
well,
you know,
just the commitment that Boeing has just made to the state.
Yeah.
I mean, the state has made a commitment to Boeing, but Boeing has made a huge commitment.
Absolutely. And it will. Sometimes it's hard to understand that, but in the long run, it'll pay off. If you don't invest in yourself, and I would, my context of that is invest in your education, but it's also true for local government, state governments. If you don't invest in yourself, how are you going to get a $1 billion company to invest in you? I mean, if they're not, it goes back to putting some skin in the game. If you're not going to put some skin in the game, it's like, kind of like that movie, Waiting on Superman. Well, I don't think I'd wait too long because I don't know if he's going to show up. I think we need to take our future in our own hands and do all the things we need to do to make sure we're the most competitive, both as individuals and communities, and that we've got the things that we know people are looking for in place. And then the old adage about luck is where preparation and opportunity intersect.
And that capitalism is a good thing?
I think capitalism is a great thing.
Absolutely. It makes a lot of things happen in our communities and for individuals, too.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
It does.
So we need to move forward. We had a call from Susan Thomas. How do you find out what classes are available online? That's pretty easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can go onto our website, or you can call our admissions office, or you can call my office. But if you'll go to the website, www.ptc.edu, our schedules are on there. Or you can call the Office of Admissions, and they will be glad to put you in touch if you know an area that you want to talk to. And we also invite people, if they want to sit in on a class or two or meet the instructors. Making a career decision is a hard choice, and sometimes you have
particularly when you're young.
Well,
in a second career,
I think
career?
I told you, Ann, I'll be 62 in June, and I'm still trying
to. What's a birthday present?
No, I'm just trying to decide what I want to do when I grow up. But what I would suggest to her is look online, look on the website. And then the other thing is we have a lot of people that have come out and shadow a class. They'll come out and talk with admission folks. They'll go through a battery of tests. They can help them kind of aptitude test things. But at the same time, at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to get out there and take a look around. So we welcome people to come to the campus. Now, we don't want them just walking into the classroom, but if they'll come,
to tell them,
if you'll come through the admissions area, they'll assign someone to you, and then they can talk to you, and they can hook you up with the right people. And
That one thing about your admissions office, they really care about the people, and they want you to help make the right decisions, and they don't want you to waste money.
No,
but, you know, that's,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. I paid my own way through college, too, and especially today with student loans, and that's another thing I would warn people to do. Don't borrow money just because it's available. If you need to borrow it, borrow what you need to get your expenses covered. But most people may not know this, but there was a change in the law a few years back, and I saw a thing on TV last night about this. Student loans are not dischargeable by bankruptcy. In other words, if you've got it will follow you to the grave. You will either pay it or you'll die, and then if unfortunately your parents co-signed with you, and if they were to outlive you, they're going to come after your parents. So it never goes away, and I think it's sometimes it just really troubles me to say. Now, our college is not that expensive to go to in the grand scheme of things, and there's a lot of different financial aid venues, but I would encourage people to take advantage of those financial aid venues, but use common sense. And I know sometimes in hard economic times, it's very attractive to look and say, well, I can borrow this amount of money that I don't really need, but I can kind of live off of it. But you're going to have to pay that back, and depending on what you do for a living, if you don't pay it back, they're subject to come after you. And so, you know, just be very smart about how you go about doing it.
You know, and speaking about that, for those that have to keep a job and go to school, the online programs have grown tremendously there.
They have. We're working with a consortium of colleges right now, Piedmont is, to develop. All of us offer a lot of online courses, but we're looking to standardize a lot of those, standardize the curriculum, improve the quality of the courses, get consistency across the board so the look and feel is the same, so that if you take a course from us or somebody else, it doesn't look different, so you get lost in the navigation of it. And we all think we're pretty good at what we're doing, but we think, and again, it's one of those things we're not satisfied with, but we think we can step our game up. And that's what we're doing. And Susan Timmons and a lot of the folks that work out at the college are working with individuals at other colleges. And we've got meetings that we've already had, some that we have scheduled. But hopefully early next year we're going to be rolling out a new initiative it will be a collaborative initiative between probably about 8 of our technical colleges in South Carolina. We did an inventory, and between all of us we had over 2,000 discrete courses that were available online.
Wow. That's huge.
Well, what if we had 10 different versions of one course? Would it be better to have one course that's top-notch, that 10 of us would be using, and that a student could take from any one of us?
Absolutely.
Or have 10 different ones that had 90% of the same content in it?
I think number A would be my
choice. No-brainer, right?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Hey, I'm here with Dr. Ray Brooks. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how high school students can benefit from taking courses at Piedmont Tech and get a leg up and be finished that much sooner so they can be out there becoming taxpayers. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. If you got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. I am here with Dr. Ray Brooks. Piedmont Tech is on the move, growing. Now, one of the things that your enrollment has continued to become larger.
Yes, we're over the course of a year. Now you got to consider, we got students that graduate during the year, we got new students that come in, so we got students coming out, but we will have approximately 8,000 unduplicated students a year just in our credit programs. Our average semester enrollment's around 6,000. When I came here it was a 4,200, something like that. And what's been interesting is to look at the trend at Piedmont and in the other 16 colleges. Nearly every college in South Carolina, technical college, has had a downturn in enrollment the last couple of semesters. Even before I got here and continuing the trend that we had before that, we are still growing. This present semester, we are up about 4.6% in headcount and about 4.1% in a full-time equivalent students. And I think that speaks well to the quality of the programs we offer. I think it speaks exceedingly well to the fact that our folks convey the message to the people that contact them that we care about you, we want you, and if it's a good fit, we're going to do everything we can to make it work for you here at Piedmont Tech.
Absolutely. And you know, Ray, one of the things that I've always been impressed with is the dual enrollment program out there. I mean, that has been a terrific boom, particularly for those students that are able, the high school students able to do this. So what's happening with that?
We've got about, I think this past year, I don't know about fiscal year, which ended in June, we had approximately 800 to 900, somewhere in that range, students in the seven. A lot of people may not understand, we have seven counties in the upstate that we serve, but we had about that many students enrolled, and there's several different venues or avenues they can take. They can In some school systems, the school system furnishes the instructor. We discount the tuition, and it's free to the student.
And these are for high school students.
High school students. Mm-hmm. The school system has to teach the class anyway. I mean, the student has got to take senior English.
Okay.
So if it's a dual enrollment student and they have a faculty member that will meet the criteria talking about the school system, then that teacher can teach it. The school system still gets their FTE funding from the state. We get the portion of the lottery tuition assistance, and it has to be done in a six-hour block, which usually is 2-3 semester-hour classes, and then the student gets credit for both of those. We've had some students that really took advantage of the whole offerings and would graduate from high school with an associate degree and enter college as a junior, and that's a huge financial saving for the parents. And that's one venue they can do it in. We have campuses in every one of our 7-county areas, so another way they can do it is if they come to the campus, we will enroll them, and if whether it's English or whatever, our advisors can help them work out their schedule, English, math, whatever the subject may be, and then they can take the classes, and it makes a check block for the school system, and it also satisfies a high school graduation requirement, and it also gives them the college class. And so that's called on-deck classes. Now, those lottery tuition assistants will pay up a portion of the tuition, and then the students pay the difference. It's still a great bargain simply because it's half price at what they would be paying. And if you compare our tuition to, like, the University of South Carolina, our tuition is roughly $2,000 full-time. Theirs is $10, $12, whatever it is. So when you look at the savings there, even though you may have some out of pocket, it's absolutely a huge savings and a good bargain for the parents. We are beginning to look at how we can better deliver college level courses to high school students that would allow them to have a very rigorous curriculum and also get a leg up on their college standing. We're looking at putting in an honors college, which would be an accelerated Associate of Arts, Associate of Science program, have some international travel associated with it, et cetera. And we hope to start that in 2014. We've got some of our faculty and staff members working on that proposal. Another way high school students can take advantage of our classes goes back to the question the lady asked a minute ago about online classes. We have a lot of students that in high school can sign up to take online classes, which if they talk to their counselors at the high school, they can pick up a class that will satisfy their high school requirement, and they'll get a credit for college. But again, lottery tuition assistance will help, but there are some costs associated with that. But it's been an extremely successful program, and we just appreciate all the school systems that work with us on that because we think it's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely, it is. You know, the only thing I worry about is how fast our kids are growing up, Ray. I mean, that's just on a personal note.
Well, they are, but I think they're more mature, too. You know, they...
Well, that's scary, too, isn't
well,
it?
I'm talking about mature in a good way. I can recall last year there was a young lady. She was local from Emerald High School, and she graduated from Emerald. She actually graduated from Piedmont. Our semester finished before Emerald's did. She graduated from us. She graduated from Emerald. She went to Anderson as a junior, but when I first met her, because we had asked her to speak at an event, and she's probably 17 at the time, but I could, you know, as you get older, people, you can't tell, especially younger folks.
Exactly.
You know, you might look at them and think they're 13 and they're 25, or you may think they're 23 and they're 35 or whatever, but when I was talking to her, I was amazed at how articulate she was, how mature she was, how focused she was. And she had talked about her and her mother had sat down with both their counselor and our folks. And typically what she did is not the easiest thing to do because you have to go, other than just what's typically offered, you're going to have to go and do some other things.
Sure.
And what she did also, which is another avenue for if high school students want to finish early, is to come summers, attend summers at Piedmont to take classes and then apply those back to your high school, and she had taken advantage of all those opportunities, and she graduated with 60 some odd semester hours of college credit, very minimal expense, and I think she's scheduled to graduate up there end of this spring. It may be this spring or it may be next spring. I can't remember if it was last year she finished or the year before. But
I remember reading that
article. But the bottom line is she was very focused, knew what she wanted to do. She's one of those rare individuals that knew what she wanted to do, but she acted on it, and just very bright young lady and very mature and focused, and, you know, I'm sure will have a very bright future, and so she really did some neat things.
Well, you know, I think that's that's a wonderful thing about any college experience, but at Piedmont Tech, you see these day in and day out.
Oh, yeah.
They're not a one-time event.
Let me mention another one that's local, the Russell Career Center here. Wonderful facility. They do great work out there. We have some dual enrollment programs there, but we also have students that will go out there and take programs, and then they get advanced standing at Piedmont Tech because of what they took at the...
Like the automotive, I would
exactly, like the, yeah, and then they come in, and that shortens it shortens the time that they spend with us to get to an associate degree or to get a diploma, whatever it is they're looking at doing. So it's sort of like my grandfather used to say, he was raised on a farm. There's a lot of ways of skinning a cat, and I don't mean to infer that in any way, so if anybody loves their cats, please don't contact me and think I'm being mean about cats. I'm just trying to make a point here. But
It's an old saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to get from point A to point B, and for some folks, time is literally one of the most valuable commodities they have. I'm going to jump to a little bit different subject, but say I'm off out here and I get out of a job for some reason, and I've got some skills, but they're not the skills that anybody will hire me with. But that doesn't mean that everything I know is not marketable or relevant. But what we are trying to do is make sure we can help folks get from, we'll meet them where they are, take them where they want to be in as short a period of time as possible so that it has the least amount of impact on them, their family, because, you know, when you're out of work and the bills are piling up, sometimes
it's called time is money.
Time is money.
And this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Ray, we can take this conversation for just another few minutes, but... you know, Piedmont Tech, and, you know, whether you go into welding, I mean, there's so many careers that you can take out there that really take and put you to work walking out the door when you graduate.
They are.
And I think that is exciting for so many students. You know, and one last question, you know, the four-year education program versus the two-year technical school, what is your feeling?
Both.
Both?
I think society needs both. And I don't think one's mutually exclusive or the other. And one of the things I would suggest, especially if I'm working in the public schools, the public K-12 environment, the skill set somebody needs to come be successful at our college is not a lot different than what they need to go to any other colleges. They've got to be able to read, understand what they're reading. They've got to be able to do math. They've got to know something about history. They've got to be able to communicate. They've got to be able to give speeches. They've got to be able to read technical reports. Right? I mean, all the basic kind of things. It goes back to kind of the three R's they used to talk about when you and I were in school. So, you know, it's not an either-or environment. I think there's an old saying that says, if you don't do a good job training your plumbers or your philosophers, neither your pipes nor your theories will hold water.
And that sounds like a heck of a place to end this show. Dr. Ray Brooks, it has been always a pleasure to sit down and talk to you. It's been too long.
Same here, Anna, anytime.
All right.
Then I'm available.
But you're available. I know. You're a very busy man. Thanks so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.